أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, we've gathered, and today is the sixth day of the holy month of Ramadan. We're trying to use this opportunity to prepare ourselves for the return of the Imam, and we want to do it in a practical way. In order to do that, we decided to revisit those core principles of Islam, those main ideas that are there in Islam, and make sure we have a Quranic understanding, the true understanding of the Ahlul Bayt, so that we can serve the cause of the Imam. Not only that we learn, but also that we share with others, so we make sure that we're all moving in the right direction. Now, we talked about faith yesterday, and we talked about two very, very important conditions in order for us to be considered believers or mu'mineen, two essential conditions. One of them was that we all, each and every one of us, and our children, and our spouses, right, and this may take a while for us to go over and make sure that things have been completely ironed out, each and every one of us is intellectually convinced that Islam is the truth. We have to know, each and every one of us, there's no taqleed when it comes to the usul of the deen. Allah exists. The Quran is the word of God. Our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad, he is a prophet. Amirul Mu'mineen was appointed by God himself. We need to have yaqeen about these things, certainty about these things. Now what that doesn't mean is that we're going to have all of the answers if anybody ever challenges us. Sometimes somebody might challenge us. We might not have the answer readily available, but that yaqeen has to be there. Sometimes people ask you questions you're not always ready for. I remember hearing a story once. It goes something like this. They said once a woman was sitting on an airplane. She was reading the Quran. The man next to her looked over, saw she was reading a holy book. He said, "You don't believe everything that's in there, do you?" She said, "Yeah, it's the Quran. I believe everything that's in there." She said, "Even the story about that guy who got swallowed by a fish?" She said, "You mean Prophet Yunus?" "Yeah, I believe that also." He said, "But how did he live so long?" Thought about it for a second. She said, "I'm not sure. When I go to heaven, I'll have to ask him." He said, "What if he's not in heaven?" She said, "Then you'll have to ask him." So sometimes you and I, we might not have all of the answers for every single question as soon as it's posed that no, that's not there. We sometimes have to refer to experts to get those finer details. But when it comes to our conviction in the faith itself, for each and every one of us, we're supposed to have that. That was one of the conditions. The next one was also very important, and it's different than what we find in mainstream religions. In some of the mainstream religions, for those of us who are living here in America, the mainstream religion would be Christianity. In Islam, we don't have the concept of somebody dying for our sins. You know, in Christianity, they tell you that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your sins are forgiven. In Islam, this is important for us. We don't say, "Imam Hussein died for my sins. Imam Hussein died so I can do or live the life of Yazid. I can do haram because Imam..." We don't say that in Islam. No one died for our sins. No one died for our sins. The Quran is very clear about this one. The Quran does not pull any punches. It's a straight shooter of the Quran. The Quran says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and the Messenger, maybe you'll be shown mercy. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Maybe you'll be shown mercy. So Islam is a religion that pushes us to act. More than that, you and I, we can't commit sins for our friends. We can't commit sins for our relatives. We can't commit sins for our spouses. From an Islamic point of view, it's each man on his own. We have to do our own responsibility. The other person won't do their responsibility. It's kind of like that story I heard. They said once these two guys were out there in the woods walking, and they saw a grizzly bear. So when these guys saw that, one of the guys reached into his backpack and he took out some sneakers. The other guy looked at him. He said, "Why are you taking out sneakers? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." He said, "That's true, but I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you." So sometimes to think, what is my responsibility? Somebody else doesn't want to obey Allah, that's their problem. I have to do my job, my duty, my responsibility. Now what happens is there's another condition, and this is also very important. You may notice with this condition, a lot of believers are afflicted with this particular disease. Right. So those are two very important conditions. Without those, we covered the verses of the Quran. We don't have iman without those first two. In addition to that, this last one is also very, very important. Without that, again, no iman. We'll cover the verses, inshallah. What happens is, Islam requires from us, Islam, God, Quran requires from us, that after we've been intellectually convinced that Islam is the truth, that we submit in our entirety to Islam. The disease that we sometimes see, and this is in a lot of places, is some people are very religious when it comes to their favorite parts of Islam. When it comes to the parts of Islam that I like, I am very religious. I'll quote ayat of the Quran for you. But then other parts of the religion, unfortunately, we don't see that same commitment. I'll give some examples. For instance, for some people, respect of the parents is very, very important. It's mentioned in the Quran. It's wajib. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The Quran has said that. Respect of the parents. But there's other parts of Islam that contradict or conflict with my personal interest. What about some of the rights that our children have? Some of the rights that our children have. Sometimes if you and I, if we, anyone, any person who takes any part of Islam and says, this part of Islam, it's okay, I don't need to do this, that person will catch it. I'll mention a hadith. This hadith is told to us, we learn the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He was speaking. He said these words, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. The Prophet said these words, if someone comes to you, they're asking for your daughter's hand in marriage, and you're satisfied with the akhlaq of this person and the deen of this person, marry your daughters off to the person. Now it's your daughter's choice. The two of them, they get along with, right? But can I just say no? There's a lot of this, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. A lot of the reasons that some people will say no to a spouse, their financial position. Are they Sayyid, non-Sayyid? Are we from the same ethnic background? There's a lot of other non-deen things that come in. What happens is, what happens if that happens? So Imam Ali, who's listening in the speech, when the Prophet speaks, he says this, he speaks, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ دَنِيًّا فِي نَسَبِهِ. He says, what about this? The guy, his background isn't such a good background. He doesn't come from a noble family. Anybody, whoever, you're satisfied with their deen and akhlaq, that's it? We have to act on this? The Prophet says this, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If someone comes to you and you're satisfied with their akhlaq and their deen, marry your daughters off to them. He says, إِنَّكُمْ إِن لَمْ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا. If you don't do this, let's say somebody says, this part of Islam, not important. I don't do this. He says, if you don't do this, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. There'll be fitna in the earth and great corruption. And we can just look in the communities. Those communities that obeyed this instruction, obeyed what Allah says, alhamdulillah. Don't do that. I'll tell you another one that sometimes gets people in trouble. They get related to marriage. In Islam, we're not supposed to have lavish weddings. When we get married, our weddings are supposed to be simple. That means the dowry is supposed to be simple. And some believers, they'll go a step further. They make sure that the dowry, inshallah, they're keeping it simple. They'll also go a step further. They'll say the mahram, non-mahram issues, we'll keep that. But what about having lavish weddings? Expensive weddings. We're inviting so many people. People come from all over the place. So many dishes. What about that? Again, Islam is very clear. Israf is a major sin. Israf is a major sin. What about if I can afford it? We listen to the words of our senior ulama. They say, if you, alhamdulillah, you've been blessed, you can afford it. Somehow you put it together. If you can raise the bar, and you raise the bar because you can, you're strong, you're financially capable, you raise the bar. They say that those brothers and sisters who couldn't get married because of what you did, I raised the bar. Those, I'm responsible for those people who are sitting in the house. And that tawbah, our scholars tell us, is very difficult to make. It's simply, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. If somebody does israf, we have to keep that in mind. If I do israf, I have to pay khums on that money. One-fifth of my money wasn't mine. The saham of the imam, the saham of God, one-fifth of that wasn't mine. I have to pay that back. I can't spend somebody else's money and do israf. That heech. That's one side. In addition to that, what about when I raise the bar and other people didn't get married? Islam is also clear about that. There are other issues. You'll find some people very concerned when it comes to eating halal. They'll make sure they go over, say, it's a Muslim restaurant. It's a Muslim. Now I'm going to check. I'll see, really, you know, I'll go check the ingredient, right? Then you say, okay, well, what about something else? What about halal income? Islam talks about that too. We're talking about eating halal. What about making sure my job? In Islam, I can't be paid to do something haram. I can't be paid to do something haram. I can't justify. It's not okay. I can't take that money. The hadith says something else. That haram income shows up in the kids. Sometimes people don't know why. Why are my kids? Haram income shows up in the dhurriyyah, hadith. So why is it some people we find that picking on choosing, sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's also political. It's political. For instance, I'll give you an example. Sometimes certain people, when you mention Saudi Arabia, they get worked up into a frenzy. So angry, takfiri, destroy them, so angry, uproot all of Saud. Then you say, okay, well, what about the allies of Saudi Arabia? What about Israel? What about America? Oh, no, don't criticize America. So you say, well, let's go with the hadith of the imam. The imam told us, he says, kuna lidhalimi khasma. Be opposed to the oppressor, whoever they are. My father is an oppressor. My cousin is an oppressor. Whoever they are. Why is America sacrosanct? So what happens again, and by the way, this is also something for us to think about. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that we put so much emphasis on Quds, on the day of Quds? Why don't we put that exact same amount of interest on the other oppressions? There's oppression happening everywhere. There's targeted killings that are happening in Pakistan. There's what's happening in Syria, Yemen, Bahrain. All of those are oppression. What's happening in Iraq? All over the world is oppression. Why so much emphasis on Israel? Why not the same amount of interest for Baqi Day, for instance? What happens is that we recognize the relationship between the puppet and the puppet master. Israel and Al Saud, for instance, relationship is puppet and puppet master. Any sort of a movement, a haraka, which is going to divert enemy energy from the real fitna, from the head of the fitna, the head of the snake, and take it to the puppet and cause sectarian bickering. At this stage, the wise person says, keep the pressure on the head of the snake. If we want to see that oppression is removed from Bahrain, from Yemen, if we want to see the house of Saud is toppled, then brothers and sisters, we have to put our energy and attend the Quds Day. If we want to see people around the world liberated, we have to go after the Ra'sul Fitna. So the believers, but we see this just in general. Let's not lose the subject or the topic. What happens is that we see, just as a general principle, sometimes believers are selective when it comes to obedience of Allah. Sometimes I call it selective amnesia. When it comes to my part of the religion, the favorite parts of the religion, Allahu Akbar, ready to go. But then other parts of the religion, no, suddenly I don't remember what I'm supposed to do. So the Quran is again very clear on this one. The Quran teaches us that believers are not allowed to have a sometimes I do, sometimes I don't approach to the deen. Islam is not a buffet. Islam is not a buffet. The Quran talks about this. We have verses of the Quran that say this, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and do kufr of to part of the book? Somebody who does this is very clear what is going to happen to this individual. Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Otherwise, the Khawarij are mu'mineen. The Khawarij, remember their story? How they went over, took Abdullah bin Khabbab, arrested him. What's your position on Ali? He goes over and he explains the right position. They said, we're going to kill you in a way that we haven't killed anybody. They take him by the side of the river, they're going to kill him. And then before they kill him, one of them goes over and he picks a date up off the ground. Astaghfirullah, you're eating haram. Another one, he kills a pig. One of them, you astaghfirullah, you just fasad in the earth. You killed a pig without permission. Then they took Abdullah bin Khabbab and they slit his throat. They took his wife, they slit her throat. They cut open the belly, they took the kid out, they killed. So that kind of approach to the deen, one part of the deen I'm focused on, my favorite part, then I'm, no, it's from Islamic point of view, it's very clear, right? We're talking about iman itself now, brothers and sisters. Iman. We want to make sure we have iman. So please send a salawat. Salli ala Muhammad, ala Muhammad, wa jafarajah. I mentioned, brothers and sisters, yesterday there was somewhere we're trying to go. Once you and I are convinced intellectually that the Quran is the word of God, that it was revealed letter by letter to our Prophet, then after that, we have to act on the Quran. Amirul Mu'mineen tells us, Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is submission. All of Islam. Whatever God says. But I want to mention something else too. Sometimes someone, they kind of outwardly, I mean, what can you do, right? It's Islam. What can I say? What can I do? The heart isn't in submission. The heart's not okay with it. The heart doesn't like it. Still, in the bottom of the heart, the verses of the Quran, again, when it comes to this, the basis of Islam, the verses that I'm going to quote for you, say that this is a condition of faith itself. The person doesn't have iman. Let's look at the verse. God says in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. This is Surah Nisa, verse number 65. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah swears by Himself, by your Lord, they do not believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَّهُمْ. Until they make you, the Prophet, to be a judge in those disputes that they have amongst them. After that it continues. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَذَيْتُ. Then after that, in themselves, in their anfusihim, in their nafs, in their hearts, لَا يَجِدُوا حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَذَيْتُ. They don't find any sort of difficulty with that decision you've made. The heart now. Even if in the bottom, there's a little bit of dissent, حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَذَيْتُ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And they submit in full submission. So the Imam tells us what happens. The Imam's, this is now the sixth Imam. He says this. لو أن قوما. If there was a qawm, a group of people. عبدوا الله ووحدا. They worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did ibadah. They only worshipped Allah. وحده. It says, then قالوا لشيء صنعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. After that, these individuals who worshipped Allah, they'd accept Allah, intellectually convinced Allah, but they said about something that the Prophet did. Some part of the religion they didn't like. Something the Prophet did. They said, لَوْ سَنَعَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. I wish this was a little bit different. I don't like this. It says, وَوَجَدُوا ذَلِكَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they found in their hearts, when they were all honest with themselves, in their hearts, they felt this way. كَانُوا بِذَلِكَ مُشْرِكِينَ. These people, if they have a problem with any part of God's deen, كَانُوا بِذَلِكَ مُشْرِكِينَ. Shirk. So in Islam, the idea after that intellectual conviction is that in submission. So we don't get to have this selective amnesia, forgetting, not understanding what Islam says. Actually, part of the practice that the Ahlul Bayt have given us is the idea of accepting the truth wherever we find it. This is a good practice for us to have. As mu'mineen and mu'minat, I submit to the truth wherever I find it. It can't be the case. I learned something, I had a certain stance, then I find out God said something different, I still hold that stance. The Imam tells us this. He says, طَلَبْتُ الْخُضُوءِ. I sought after humility. I wanted to be humble. I sought after humility. فَمَا وَجَدْتُ إِلَّا بِقَبُولِ الْحَقِّ. I didn't find humility was anything other than accepting the truth. Wherever the truth is, whatever God says, whatever the religion says, the truth, submission to the truth. It says, then he encouraged us to accept the truth. He says, فَإِنَّ قَبُولَ الْحَقِّ يُبْعِدُ عَنِ الْكِبْرِ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. Accepting the truth makes one far removed from arrogance. Makes one far removed from arrogance. So, that's one part of it. We have to think about it, make sure. And also, another shubha, another doubt that we have to clarify is this idea that making a lot of worship, doing a lot of ibadah, accepting one part of the religion, the rituals of the religion, and then acting on that and doing all those things, that doesn't equate submission and won't take us to paradise. Let me read you a hadith that's a little bit scary. This is a hadith, the Imam is speaking to a man named Muyassir. He says, Ya Muyassir, one of the companions, Ya Muyassir, ما بين الركن والمقام روضة من رياض الجنة. Between the rukn and the maqam, next to the Kaaba, روضة من رياض الجنة. It's a garden from the gardens of paradise. وما بين القبر والمنبر روضة من رياض الجنة. Between the qabr and the minbar, next to the grave of our Prophet, روضة من رياض الجنة. It's a garden from the gardens of paradise. He says, ووالله, the Imam swears by Allah here, وَوَاللَّهُ لَوْ أَنَّ عَبْدًا عَمَرَ عَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ وَمَا بَيْنَ الْقَبْرِ وَالْمِنْبَرِ يَعْبُدُ أَلْفَ عَامٍ. If there was a servant, and Allah gave them life, so they lived 1,000 years. Between the qabr and the minbar, between the rukn and the maqam, and this person, يَعْبُدُهُ Alfa am, they worshipped Allah for 1,000 years. After that, ثُمَّ ذُبِحَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ مَظْلُومًا. After that, the person was killed on his rug, مَظْلُومًا, murdered. It says, the same way that a sheep is killed, this person was killed, but the person had a problem. ثُمَّ لَقِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِغَيْرِ وِلَايَتِنَا. But he met Allah without our wilayah. I don't have a problem with worship. I'll do that. I will do 1,000 years, I'll do it. But when it comes to something that Allah says, right? We just pick our poison. What is it that I have a problem with? He says that if I do that, he says this person, he says, كَانَ حَقِيقًا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يُكِبَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَيْهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. It will be haq on Allah to cast this person down into the hellfire and by their nostrils. Throw them face forward into the fire. So Islam teaches us, brothers and sisters, the idea that intellectual conviction about the religion of Islam is synonymous not only to action, but doing all of Islam, accepting all of Islam. More than that, what we learned is that even the state of the heart, having a problem and a difficulty with certain parts of Islam, Islam again, very clearly, the verse of Quran said if they find even a little bit of difficulty, la yu'minun, to accept everything that's said. So, what happens is this approach isn't correct. Remember hearing a story once, they said once a man walked into the, he came to an old man who was a guarantor of a will. So he walked in and he said, look, a dog had died. The owner had left $1 million to bury the dog. He came in and he said that to the priest, he said, I'd like to bury the dog here. He said, brother, I don't bury dogs. We don't have funerals for dogs. He said, but there's $1 million if you do it. He said, oh, you didn't tell me the dog was a Christian. Right? So that kind of opportunistic approach, Islam says no. The Quran gives us three reasons why somebody might do this. Why is it, after all of this emphasis, still somebody might slip up? The Quran goes over and gives three reasons why this might be mentioned. Surah 24, verse number 50. The first one, أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. It says, is it that they have a disease in the heart? Sometimes a person can have, the heart can be diseased. Nifaq, there are certain levels of nifaq individuals have. Their shahwa sometimes blind them. Their anger, their jahl, different things blind them. That's one of them. It says, amir tabu. The next one is even worse, though. Someone actually, they have doubt in the religion. Or it says even worse than that, am yakhafun an yahifa Allahu alayhim wa rasuluh. Or the person's actually afraid that Allah and His Messenger will oppress them. If I do what Allah says, Allah will do wrong by me. If that's the case, that is kufr itself. That's so, inshallah, Allah make us those individuals who don't have any of these problems, who go over and accept all of Islam in its entirety. Please send a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.